The message I have picked for you today, and I say the message, is one that's near and dear to my heart. It's one that is not something that's optional for us to be doing. It's a command from God that we're to be sharing the gospel of the Lord, the good news of the Lord, with other people. You know, and so in choosing this, I can tell you right now that when we decided many, many months ago that as elders we were going to fill in for the pastor while he's gone, and I selected that I would go first, many months ago, I had this topic in mind because of questions that I've received from some people within the church. You know, I was talking to a young lady one day, and I asked her, you know, about being saved, and she said, well, what does it mean to be saved? And I thought, well, this is a good opportunity. Unfortunately, the young lady's not here to share the good news with her. I had another woman sitting in our Sunday school class one morning, and she said, are you trying to tell me that my 73 years of attending the Catholic Church, everything that I learned is wrong? And I explained to her, no, not at all. I'm not trying to explain to you that the things that you learned in the Catholic Church are incorrect in any way, shape, or form. I'm just trying to say that there's such a thing as the gospel of the Lord, and there's the gospel of the Lord in its fullness, to completeness, so people understand it. And no matter what church you attend, if they're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he died on the cross for your sins, for my sins, you know, to give you eternal life, if they're preaching that, then, you know, your church is a good church. But we need to hear that in completeness. My daughter, or my granddaughter, just this weekend, she said, Pop, what are you going to preach? And I said, I'm not going to preach. I'm going to bring you a message. I'm not a preacher. I'm just a man just like many of you sitting there. So I'm not going to preach. She said, well, what do you think you're going to talk about? I said, well, the gospel of the Lord. And I included with her, which I'm not going to that much with you, I said to her about heaven, eternal life, or hell. And we talked a little bit about heaven and hell, and we said about, you know, how you're tormented in hell, how hell is a sulfur pit. Yeah, it's hot. It's not paradise like you hear about heaven. And she said, Pop, isn't it obvious which one you would choose? I don't like heat. You know, so it was like, wow, okay, but that's not the only reason why, you know, you should choose heaven and not hell. You know, and I often think before I get started of the thief on the cross. You know, at the last moment, he decided that Jesus was the Lord, that his dying on the cross was real, and Christ says to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. So oftentimes you'll hear people say that, I'll take my chances. I'll wait until the bitter end. I don't know where my loved one went. I don't know where my, you know, so-and-so went. And so they hesitate. But remember, they had a last moment also with Christ. So when you're thinking that, since I don't know what they chose, you don't know that they didn't choose Christ. You don't know that they didn't choose eternal life. And so it's important that, you know, you make up your own minds, you make up your own decisions. As we get started here this morning, several months ago, I started asking a question here within the church. Evangelism explosion is more or less what I'm going to use as my message today. But I started asking some questions, you know, as an elder to our new members when they joined the church. And one of the questions I asked them each and every morning is, have you come to a place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven? I don't expect any answers, but I just want you to think about that for a moment. Have you come to a place in your spiritual life where if you were to die today, that you know for certain that you would go to heaven? Because it is possible. 1 John 5:13 says, these things I have written to you that you may know you have eternal life. The scriptures give us our directions. But it says that you may know that you'll have eternal life by reading the word. There is a way to know, and hopefully today's message will help you understand this even better. So that was my first question. My second question that I have for everyone to just think about, ponder about, is suppose you were to die today, and God were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? Some people out there might answer, well, because I'm a good person. I try not to do things that are bad. I go to church. I tithe. I give. I volunteer for all the church activities. One might say, I would do anything to help anybody who's in need. I would. Well, I'm a good person. And some might even say, look around. Look at my house. I own a business. I own all these cars. I own these things. I'm successful in life. So I'm a really good person, and God has blessed me because I have these things. So they may think that because of this, these are all things that I just mentioned, but no personal effect, no good works, no religious deeds, none of them can earn you a place in heaven. For you, because eternal life, like any genuine gift, is free. Eternal life, like any genuine gift, is free. So I ask you the two questions. I just mentioned that eternal life, it's free. And now I'm going to explain a little bit more all about that. But first, I need to go back and I need to ask God. I have a verse here, and I shared whenever Jim was doing his devotion, Jim shared the same verse. It says, and for me, before I pray, it says, Ephesians 19, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let me go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I bow my head before you, Lord, and I ask that the words that I speak here would be your words, that they would be from the scriptures, and they would come from our hearts, yours, God, and my heart, the words that you give me. So God, as we continue in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, I just pray, God, that your presence would be felt, your Holy Spirit would come upon me, and that I can speak so that others understand. And I pray that no one is confused by the words that I say. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So, we're going to talk a little bit about five things that the Bible tells you that you need to know in order to have eternal life. The first one I'm going to mention is grace. God's grace. I chose the songs today on purpose to try to fit in to the entire service. Come, now is the time to worship. We have come into his house. We have gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. And I chose the song Flawless. There's a part in there that says, well, let me introduce you to amazing grace. Purposely, my hope is to introduce you to amazing grace. But it says, still the truth is, the cross has made you flawless. Nothing we do or anything that we think or we buy, nothing can make the cross, can make us flawless. It's the cross itself and only the cross. So I chose those words purposely. But I mentioned grace. When I mention grace, I'm talking about the grace of God. What is grace? Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Means we don't earn it. We don't deserve it. If we got what we deserved, I mentioned heaven and hell. If we got what we deserved, I probably wouldn't be talking a whole lot about heaven. But, thanks be to God, Grace, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the Bible says in 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a verse that we should remember. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This gift cannot be earned, or is it deserved? You've heard many say, or hopefully you've heard many say, it is by the grace of God that I'm here today. It is by the grace of God that I have this. And people truly mean by God's grace, by his mercy. All of us are blessed. All of us are blessed in many ways. We may not want to acknowledge that, but it's God. It's not us. It's not of ourselves. It says, for by grace you are saved through faith. I'm going to come back to this. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, but any man should boast. For by grace you are saved through faith. Why is it that no man can earn his way into heaven? If you think about it for a moment, no man can earn his own way into heaven, not by his works, his deeds, because man is a sinner. We're all sinners. Rather we want to admit it or not, but that's one of the first things we need to do is admit to God that we are sinners. You know, it doesn't mean that we're out there every day, you know, committing murder or anything, but for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Many times when we think of sin, we think of robbery. We think of murders. We think of bad things like that, immoral behavior, and much more. But a sin is anything that God doesn't please God. Like, for example, losing our temper or stealing. These are sins of commission. Things that we do, actions that we take, things that we should have done, but we didn't do. Things that we said that we shouldn't have said. Those are sins of omission. You know, so we have actions that we do. So we're committing a sin, sins of commission, and things that we don't do. It could be as simple, when I was looking up and reading, you know, we're to read our Bibles. We're to pray to God. We're to help one another. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves. So when we think about it, are we doing those things? If not, God might consider those sins of omission. Because of man, because of sin, we cannot save ourselves. There isn't a single person in this room or a single person in this world that can save themselves by their merit or by the things that they do, their task. It's God, God's grace. If you wanted to save yourself by good deeds, do you know how good you'd have to be? The Bible tells us. All these things that I'm talking about are found in scriptures. The Bible tells us. It says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father, whom is heaven, is perfect. Simple. All we have to do is be perfect. You know, have no flaws whatsoever. Remember, man is a sinner. Impossible. That's why God's grace is so important for us. With such a high standard, no one can save himself. However, in spite of our sin, God is merciful. I mentioned grace. I mentioned sin. Now we're going to talk more about God. God is merciful, and therefore, he doesn't want to punish us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He doesn't want to punish us for our sins. God doesn't hate any one person for their sins, but he hates the sin. He dislikes their actions. So, God is love, doesn't want to punish us. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. But the same Bible tells us that even though God loves us, it also tells us that God is just, and therefore, he must punish us. He He's, you know, it says, and by no means clear the guilty. I will by no means clear the guilty. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It's scriptural. But God doesn't want that to happen. So we have a problem. We read earlier that the wages of sin is death. So as a man, what does that man deserve? He deserves death. But why doesn't that happen? Because of the cross, because of Jesus Christ. God, sin, or grace, sin, God, and Jesus Christ. Who is he? Who is Jesus Christ? It's important that we know this. The Bible tells us clearly that he is the infinite God-man. The verse it refers to is, in the beginning was the Word. Parentheses I have, the Word, Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was God. And the Word, Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. So he's the infinite God-man. Jesus is God. Took on flesh, came down to the earth, was amongst not us at the time, but it was amongst men back then, and he came to earth and lived a sinless life. But while on earth, what else did he do? He died. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins and rose from the grave to purchase a place for us in heaven. The good news. Jesus Christ came to earth in the form of a man, took on the sins of the world, died on the cross, was put in the grave, all this to purchase us a place in heaven. That eternal life that I talked about. It says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So imagine with me that this book is a detailed record. This book that I hold in my right hand, it's a detailed record of every word I've ever spoken. Everything I've ever done, everything I've ever thought, it's all detailed. It's all written down. It's right here. My sins. This is my book. Plus this book. Maybe even one this big. Details of all the things I've done. I mentioned earlier that, you know, sins like robbery, murder, and things like that. Losing your temper. You know, I have a confession to make. I'm up here teaching this today, and I said to Sam this morning when I came in, I don't want to come up here. And he says, you're going. It's like, but you know. And the reason is because I lost my temper last night. I'm preparing for this. I'm going to speak to you. And I lost my temper. Okay? Mainly hateful words. Not cursing, swearing, but meanness. Hateful words. So I went to bed praying, God, forgive me. I'm going to stand in front of you, and I lost my temper. It's here. He wrote it down. But I thank God that he's willing to take this book, or no matter how many books, and he put these on the shoulders of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. All my wrongs, all my thoughts, and he laid them here in Jesus' hands. Jesus took on the iniquities of all of us. All of our books. Heavy load? Certainly. Most definitely. Jesus died on the cross for us, for our sins. So God gave Christ all of our iniquities, all of our sins have been placed on Jesus Christ. Jesus, he paid it all. As Jesus hung on the cross and was taking on the sins of the world, when they were all placed upon him, in the completeness, Jesus said, "It is finished," and he died. They were all placed on him. He took them in, and he died. But Jesus said, this temple will fall and be rebuilt in 3 days. So that's not the end. You know, but Jesus died for a sin. So far, you've heard me talk about God's grace, that we as men are sinners and cannot free ourselves, that we deserve death, but God provided a gift in the form of Jesus Christ. This gift that he gave us. Anybody know what it is? What's that? Grace he gave us first, but when in the form of Jesus Christ, how do we receive this gift? By faith. We're going to talk a little bit now about faith, because this is important. This is the completeness. You got to have faith. You can hear the story up until now. You can believe that Jesus died on the cross. You can believe that God is real, but you got to have faith, the reason why he died. This gift is received by faith. What is faith according to the Bible? It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Many people will tell you, I don't see Jesus, but they do. Prayerfully and hopefully, people see Jesus Christ in each and one, every one of you. Maybe you're the only Jesus they'll ever see. Faith means belief. Means assurance, a firm conviction. It means faithfulness. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance that the Lord is working even though we cannot see him. Faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of God. Many people don't hear about faith because faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of God. You can share faith. You can share the word of God with all those loved ones that you have. And it's important that we do this. In my lifetime, several men have said in our conversation that I only wish my whole entire family would get this before they die. They only hope that their whole entire family would hear the good news, the gospel of the Lord, and they would accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Some of these guys came to know the Lord at a later time in their life. And so they were urgently saying, oh, I just hope they get it. I hope they get it. The last time it occurred, I was at the funeral of my sister-in-law's father. And he said to me, boy, I just wish my whole entire family would hear this and come to the Lord before it's too late. When is it too late? None of us know. Today? In an hour? Tomorrow? We don't know. But he kept saying, boy, I just wish they would get it. I wish they would get it. I wish they would hear the gospel. I wish somebody would talk to them. During that funeral, I'm standing there, and I knew his request was, and I thought, this guy's not going to preach the gospel. He's not going to tell them. He's not going to share with them the gospel they need to hear. And it was eating at me, and I thought, should I? Should I stand up and say, you know, this is what Wilbur wants? And then the man started preaching. and he preached the gospel of the Lord. And I have permission when I mention this name. There's an individual who attends our church currently. He's not here today, but he was sitting in that funeral parlor. He couldn't hear the entire message. But Big Daddy Vern heard the message, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And Vern did. Thanks be to God. He heard the message. He heard it before, but he got it. I have another friend who's going to Sportsman's Bank with me in First Baptist Church 7 years in a row. He heard the gospel of the Lord. He didn't get it. He heard part of the message, but he didn't get it. The seventh time, he got it. He heard the message of the Lord loud and clear. It came through to him. The fact that he needed to confess and repent of his sins, he got the whole entire message. And I'll tell you today, he served as a trustee with me. He's a great Sunday school teacher. He's a man of the cross. But it took quite a while before he got it. Sometimes it takes that. Several times before we really get that we need to accept and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. But we're talking about that faith. And I said that faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of God, of Christ. So we need to be speaking it. The word is ultimately from God. The scriptures are God-inspired. They're God-breathed. By God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, they're carefully read. Jesus promised to his apostles that they would be led into all truth. What is truth? But it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come, yet to come. He will glorify me. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. And one of the rules is to guide believers into all truth. How do you get the Holy Spirit? We receive the Holy Spirit the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's how we get the Holy Spirit. That's how we become led by the Spirit. That's how we know the truth. We receive the Holy Spirit the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Many people mistake two things for saving faith. It's not mere head knowledge. I know people that can tell me verse 1 in Genesis and the last verse in Revelation, and they can tell you word for word. Does this alone make them a Christian, a believer? This is a great plus, but there's more to it than just having mere head knowledge of what's written in the scriptures. It says saving faith is not mere head knowledge, like believing certain historical facts. The Bible says that the devil believes there is one God. The devil does believe there is one God. Many people in the world today believe there is one God, you know, and it's like, I believe in God. I've heard that many times. But there's no faith. There's no saving faith involved in it. It's just an acknowledgement that I believe God, there's a God. But there's more to it. When I said about taking this to completeness, this is part of taking it to completeness. There's more than just mere head knowledge. And then there's also a thing called temporal faith. When you pray to God because you're not feeling well, you have a need, a financial need, or, you know, there's just a burden. There's a physical need. Your family's in crisis in one way or another. So you hit your knees, you bow your hands, you say, oh, God, please help us get through this. But what happens when he does? When he hears your prayers? And it's like, that's just, it's temporal faith. Okay, thank you for today. calling you the next time I need you. God doesn't like that. That's not what we're to be doing. You know, it says, now these are good, and you should trust Christ for these, both head knowledge, temporal faith, but they're not saving faith. Saving faith is trusting in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. I read back here. Hopefully I can find it. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, saving faith is trusting in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. It means resting upon Christ alone and what he's done rather than what you or I have done to get us into heaven. Because like I explained, you or I can't do anything to get us into heaven. It's that saving faith. In the Acts of the Apostles, the Philippian jailer asked the Apostle Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul gave him a very simple answer. He says, "Believe, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." That's what it is. In my notes, I wrote down, this is so simple that millions of people stumble over this. The fact that I have to accept and believe Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior is all I have to do. Now, sure, along with that, you'll want to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. You'll have that desire. He'll give that desire in your heart. Jesus told his disciples in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. I wrote down here that many in the world today are driven by their sins. When you believe or trust the Lord Jesus Christ, your sin nature will diminish, not go away. Sin nature is still going to be there, but it's going to diminish. And you will want to be more like Christ. You'll want to be more like Christ in your actions, in your words, in your deeds, in the things that you say. You'll have a desire to serve. You'll have that desire to want to go out and tell people the gospel, the good news of the Lord. We're nearing the end. I really didn't think I'd get a half hour out of this. So far, you've heard that by God's grace, because we're all sinners, God provided a gift in the form of Jesus Christ. And by faith in Christ, we can be assured of eternal life in heaven. I started with two questions. Ponder on them a little bit today. Now I have another question. After all this, that question is God asking you now if you'd like to receive the gift of eternal life? Is he tugging at you a little bit? I read a book. Emily I have a book of Emily's at home. It's about angels by Billy Graham. In that book, Billy finished every one of his stadium events with this very similar statement. And I want to read this to you. This is Billy Graham. At the end of his stadium, it says, "Our good works and intentions are not enough," Jesus said. "You must be born again." That's found in John 3:7, if anybody's interested. It says, "You must be born again. Only when we turn to Christ in faith and trust, confessing our sins to him and seeking his forgiveness, can we be assured of our salvation. Satan will do all in his power to make us trust ourselves instead of Christ. But only Christ can save us, and he will, if we will commit our lives to him and trust his work on the cross for our salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We can find eternal life when we believe in Jesus Christ. Have you made your personal commitment to Christ, and are you trusting Him alone for your salvation? If you have never taken the step of faith, or if you are unsure about your relationship to Christ, turn to Him today. And those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. This can be your experience today if you will ask Christ to come into your heart by faith. By faith. By faith alone. Doesn't cost you. Can't buy it. Can't work for it. Don't deserve it. So, prayerfully, this message today has clarified the gospel up for maybe just one of you. Maybe more. If the message is giving you a new meaning of the gospel and receiving Christ as Savior is something that you want to do, the altar is always open. If this is something that these words today might have spoke to you, and you would like to come forward and pray, Sam and I'll be here for you as elders of the church. If this is something that those questions I told you to ponder about, if this is something that you want to think about, or it tugs at you later on in the day, the week, the month, call the pastor, call the elders. We'd be glad to pray with anyone who would like to receive this gift by faith of eternal life. So, like I said, this is my message to you today. I prayed before the message, actually even a little bit during the message, to keep me going, and that maybe it would help to clarify any questions you have there about the gospel. Maybe it would take it to completeness, to fullness. There's a need. And if you've only gone so far, and you know what grace is, you know who God is, you believe there's a God, you know His grace, His mercies, you know that we're all sinners, you know that He sent Jesus because He loved us, and by faith, I just hope that maybe this has helped one of you, and that you would consider, if you haven't done this, you would consider doing this today, or like I said, at another time. Let's close in prayer. Father God in heaven, thank you so much, God, for these words. Help me, God, to continue to pray for each and every one of the people who have heard these words, and that if there is one amongst us who have decided today that I've got this message a little clearer, I understand, that they would come forward, Lord, and that we could pray to you, pray with them, and they too could have eternal life today. Father God, as we go our separate ways, we do remember those who are traveling. We pray that you provide safe traveling for each and every one of them, and be with us as we go our separate ways. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.